Yeah, so in the previous shloka, we saw that the author was comparing the Guru Paduka as like Arka Parampara for Papandhakaram, then as removing, as the eagle that removes the snake of Tapatrayam, and the Badavagni which dries up the ocean of samsara. So he continues in the next shloka. Shamadishatka Pradavaibhavabhyam Samadhidana Vratadikshitabhyam Ramadavangristirabhaktidabhyam Namo Namah Shri Guru Padukabhyam. So again, Namo Namah Shri Guru Padukabhyam. I offer my prostration at the feet of the at the Guru Paduka. That Guru Paduka which Shamadi Shatka Prada Vaibhavabhyam, which gives the qualities Vaibhavam. Vaibhavam generally means like great qualities or powers kind of thing. So Shamadi Shatka Prada Vaibhavabhyam. So it the Guru Paduka, if for a person who prostrates the Guru Paduka, it gives it bestows him the six qualities starting with Shama. So as per Shankara and as per Vedanta, for a person to be eligible to apprehend knowledge, the prerequisite for that is Sadhana Chatushtayam. Sadhana Chatushtayam. Chatushtayam means four, Sadhana means the kind of what to say, that which helps him to attain the truth or apprehend the truth. So this is Sadhana Chatushtayam, is not for realization, but it is a prerequisite for gaining knowledge. Knowledge gives us realization, but in order to apprehend knowledge, a person has to get Sadhana Chatushtayam. He has to get the four qualities. The Sadhana Chatushtayam, the four are, the first is Vivekam, second is Vairagyam, third is mental qualities of the mind, which is called Shamadi Shatkam. Shatkam means six, Shamadi means Shamaadi, starting with Shama, etc. So the six qualities of the mind is the third of the Sadhana Chatushtayam, and the fourth is Mukshatvam. So the first is Vivekam. Vivekam means, Shankara says it turns it as Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekam. Vivekam generally means discrimination. Here Vivekam is discrimination between Nityam and Anitya Vastu. So that which is real and that which is unreal. Discrimination between real and unreal is called Vivekam. So that means it is nothing but Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So to know that Brahman is real, Brahman is Nityam, and the world or anything apart from Brahman is Anityam. That is Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekam, or Vivekam in general. So Vivekam is knowing that, discriminating between what is real and what is unreal. Brahman is real because it is changeless and ever-present, whereas the world is always changing and therefore it is Anityam or temporary or unreal. And the second is Vairagyam. When a person gets Vivekam, when a person knows what is real and what is unreal, then he tends to ignore the unreal, whereas get attracted towards the real. So this is called Nitya Nitya Vastu, this is called Vairagyam. So Vairagyam is again split into two, Apara Vairagyam and Para Vairagyam. So the lower Vairagyam is when a person ignores the world, ignores that which is Anityam. And the Para Vairagyam is when he is attracted towards the real. So like the final step of Vairagyam is when a person gets Para Vairagyam, he gets attracted to the real. So when a person gets attracted to the real, automatically he becomes dispassionate towards the unreal. So Vairagyam is generally loosely translated as Virakti. Virakti is like when can be conditional. It can depend on situations. When a person's wife or husband dies, then he cultivates Virakti towards the world. But that is not Vairagyam. Vairagyam is dispassion. Dispassion is when a person knows that something will give him sorrow, something is temporary, therefore it will give sorrow, therefore he doesn't go towards it, he doesn't get attracted towards it. That is a paravairagyam, and paravairagyam is when a person gets attracted to the nityam. So when with nitya nitya vastu vivekam comes vairagyam. Vairagyam is getting attached or attracted towards nityam and getting away from anityam. And after that, once a person gets vairagyam, still knowledge has to do with the mind and the intellect. So a person has, the intellect has to apprehend the truth, apprehend the reality, and finally contemplate on it. That is Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. That is the path of knowledge. Shravanam, listening, Mananam, reflecting, and Nididhyasanam, contemplating. All these are mental process. So for that, the mind has to become calm, mind has to become pure. So that is what is achieved through Shama Adi Shatkam. So the six qualities of the mind, starting with Shama. The fourth is Mumukshutva, means burning desire for liberation. Without desire for liberation, a person will not enter into the knowledge. Enter into the knowledge path. So that is Mumukshutva. Then Shama Adi Shatkam, the six qualities starting from Shama, is Shama, Dama, Uparati, Titiksha, Shraddha, and Samadhanam. So Shama. Shama means calmness of the mind. So Shama is calmness of the mind, that mind which is not fluctuating, that mind which is calm, always without any turbulence. Calmness of the mind is like when mind is not going behind thoughts, mind is not vibrating. That means when there is vibration, when there is turbulence in the mind, that means the mind becomes restless. That's when a person becomes restless. But Shama means the mind has to be always calm. The mind can be calm when it is focused on the reality, focused on the Nitya Vastu, then it becomes calm. So Shama is calmness of the mind. Dama. Dama means control of the sense organs. So mind is that which activates the sense organs and thereby experiences the external sense objects. So we can consider it as like the mind. Mind is like a tap out of which the water comes. It passes through a particular area. It flows through the tube, we can say a tube or something, and then it finally comes out. So that tube, the instrument with which the mind experiences sense objects, is the sense organs, are the sense organs. So the sense organs, control of the mind is inner control of the mind, control of the source which is involved in experience of sense objects. And Dhamma is controlling of the sense organs. So one is internal, the mind, control of internal mind, and Dhamma is control of external mind. External mind means it's not mind, but it is the sense organs through which the mind works. So Shama, Dhamma, Uparati. Uparati means, Uparati is generally, Uparama means sannyasam or withdrawal. So Uparati is when a person gets control, inner control, that means control of the mind or Shama, and then Dhamma, which is control of the sense organs, then he should withdraw the sense organs from their sense objects. It doesn't make sense to experience anitya vastu, and when the mind is calm, then it's not experiencing anything. That means when the mind is not working, the mind has to be pulled in, the mind has to be pulled inside. That means the sense organs, which are the instruments that illumine sense objects, that has to be pulled away from the sense objects. That is called Uparati, means withdrawal of sense organs. So first is control of the mind, calmness of the mind. Second is control of the sense organs. And the third is withdrawal of the sense organs from the sense objects. Titiksha. So let's say a person is trying all this. A person is doing Shama, a person is doing Dhamma, a person is doing Uparati. But at times it may happen that there will be a situation when he will face trouble. Those troubles are due to like his own previous karma, his own like prarabdham and all those things. So though he is doing everything proper, he is trying to be spiritual, but still obstacles come. So during those obstacles, he should not fall down. He shouldn't break. He should still remain calm. That is what is called as titiksha, forbearance. So in the spiritual path, we may face obstacles because of our prarabdham, because of our karma, or because of testing that Ishvara or the Guru gives us. But during that time, a person has to persevere. So he has to forbear and he has to still hold on to the reality. That is what is called as titiksha. And then after titiksha, it is shraddha. Shraddha means like faith. So shraddha can be faith in that, faith in the source of knowledge. So source of knowledge is two. One is called the direct source and one is indirect source. Indirect source is the scriptures. The scriptures are indirect because it is in the form of any book or teaching. It is not something that is directly being experienced by a person. Whereas the direct source is the guru who is experiencing the truth. Guru is an embodiment of the scriptures. Guru is a living example of the scriptures. So Shraddha is faith in the direct source as well as indirect source. That means Shraddha is faith in the guru, faith in the guru's words as well as faith in the scriptures. Without faith in guru and the scriptures, which are the two sources of knowledge, a person cannot get knowledge. So that is also a prerequisite for knowledge. And finally, it is like with all these mental qualities, what will happen is samadhanam. There will be tranquility, there will be equanimity. So samadhanam is when the mind is focused on the self and thereby it is always calm. It is without any fluctuation. That is what is samadhanam. So shamadhi shatka sampatti, it is called sampatti or qualities. So shamadhi shatka sampatti is very important for a seeker. So vivekam and vairagyam, most of the people who are in the spiritual path will have to an extent. But the mental qualities are very essential in order for him to be able to follow the jnana margam of shravana manana vidyasanam. When the mind is not controlled, when the mind is not calm, shama is not there, then vidyasanam is impossible. When dhamma or uparati is not there, then that means like the sense organs are going outside and experiencing things. When you are experiencing other things, then how will you be able to do shravanam? How will you be able to listen to the truth? How will you be able to reflect? So that's not possible. So shama is calmness of the mind. Dhamma is calmness or control of the mind. We can say control of the mind. Because samadhanam is when the mind is fully calm. Shama is like control of the mind. Dhamma is control of sense organs. Uparati is withdrawal of sense organs from the sense objects. Titiksha is forbearance from any obstacle that a person faces. Shraddha is faith in the words of Guru as well as scriptures. And the final one is Samadhanam or tranquility. So these six qualities, these qualities of the mind a person gets when he prostrates to the Guru Padaka. That is the greatness of the Guru Padaka, that you don't need to put effort to practice all this. A person in the Jnana Margam generally has to put effort to calm the mind, withdraw the mind and all those things. But a person who has surrendered to the Guru Paduka will ensure that he gets all these six qualities. Shankara in many of his works explains in depth these things. So you can go through Viveka Chudamani or Aparoksha Anubhuti, any of the work to understand it. So the Guru Paduka bestows a person the Shamadhi Shatka Sampatti, which is essential for gaining knowledge and thereby realization. Samadhi dhana vrata dikshidabhyam tabhyam. So like it is like vratam vrata dikshitabhyam. The Guru Padaka, a person who is prostrating to the Guru Padaka, the Guru Padaka has taken the vow, vratam dikshitabhyam, of giving samadhi dhanam. So that means it is like if a person prostrates to the Guru Paduka, then the Guru Paduka has taken a vow to provide samadhi, to give the dhanam, give the boon of samadhi for a person who is seeking. That means a person who is prostrating, it's as good as telling that a person who is eating something will get the fruit of satisfying his hunger or removing his hunger, appeasement of hunger. Similarly, for a person who is, it's automatic. Like, we can't say, okay, I'll eat, but still hunger will be there. That's not possible. Similarly, a person who prostrates to the Guru Paduka, such a person will be automatically given samadhi. What is samadhi? Samadhi is, in Vedanta, in yoga system, samadhi is like four types. We won't go into that because you won't understand first of all, and then the explanation is quite different from what Vedanta says. So unless you know Vedanta clearly, a person will get easily distracted and confused into the yoga samadhi. But as per Vedanta, samadhi is two: savikalpam and nirvikalpam. Savikalpam means with vikalpam. Savikalpam. Vikalpam means with modification, with thought or with mind acting. That is savikalpa samadhi. So savikalpa samadhi is when a person is concentrating on any form of God, then it is savikalpam. It is with the modification of the mind. But when a person concentrates on any particular form or the formless even, but still the difference between the person who is concentrating and the object is there. That's when the object is there in the mind. But when this difference between the meditator and the meditated or the object of meditation vanishes, that is when it becomes nirvikalpam. Nirvikalpam means without vikalpam, without any thought. That is possible when a person concentrates on something and he merges into that entity. And there is yoga system acknowledges like samadhi on different entities, different things. But as per Vedanta, samadhi is to be done only on Parabrahman, only on Brahman. So savikalpam is when a person is doing meditation and he is different from Brahman, but still his mind is fully focused on Brahman. That means dhyanam is when a person is meditating. He is not fully focused, he is trying to focus. But samadhi is when a person is fully focused on Brahman. There is no other thought, but he is different from Brahman. Nirvikalpam is when a person is, and Vedanta goes one step ahead to say that nirvikalpam and savikalpam are just means to get a glimpse of the self and a means to purify the mind and thereby lead to liberation. But the final step is sahaja samadhi. Sahaja means natural. So the natural state, our natural state is that of self. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swabhavoham. I am Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Atma. I am Brahman. So when this thought of I am Brahman or concentration on Brahman becomes natural, that is when it becomes sahajam. Sahajam is natural state. Savikalpam and nirvikalpam both are not natural, but it is with effort. Whereas sahajam is natural. So Vedanta accepts nirvikalpam and savikalpam as means, but still it believes only in sahajam as the final goal. So a person who prostrates to Guru Paduka, the Guru Paduka will give him samadhi. Samadhi means it will first give him savikalpam and nirvikalpam and then lead him to sahaja samadhi. Samadhi is explained in depth in Drig Drishya Viveka. I don't know whether you have gone through the MP3s in the site. If you haven't, you can go through the last few shlokas or check out with Rajesh as to the shloka number where it comes. But there the author Bharati Tirtha, he discusses in depth about Savikalpam and Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Samadhi is described in depth in there. And the third is Rama Dhavangri Sthira Bhakti Dabhyam. Sthira Bhakti Dabhyam. That which gives bhakti. It's not normal bhakti, but it is Sthira Bhakti. Sthira Bhakti means, Sthiram means, we say for Sthiram, Sthiram is that which is stable. That which is like a rock. Rock is the perfect example for Sthiram. Sthiram means it is strong, immoving, non-changing. So Sthira Bhakti. Bhakti means like devotion. But devotion has different phases. So different devotion has different stages. A person might be devoted, but still, when something goes wrong, when things don't go as per he wants, then devotion, he deviates a little bit from devotion, and there will be some doubts. But sthira bhakti is constant or complete devotion. Devotion that is always there. Devotion that doesn't vanish even for a moment. That is what is called as parabhakti, proper devotion that Krishna says in 12th chapter. So, Guru Padaka gives a person sthira bhakti. Sthira bhakti on what? Pramadava angre. So, angre means like padam. Rama means, you know, Lakshmi. Davam means like husband. So, Ramadhavam means, Ramadhava is the husband of Lakshmi or Vishnu. That is Madhavam. Ma also is a word of for Lakshmi. Davam means husband. So, Madhavam is Vishnu. So, Vishnu's angri, feet of Vishnu. So, for a person who is prostrating the Guru Padaka will give him steadfast or constant pure devotion to the feet of Vishnu. Vishnu here denotes like Vishnu, Vishnum Vyapana Shilam. Vishnum Vishwam Vishnur Vashatkaru. So in Vishnu Sahasranama, Shankaracharya in his Bhashya, while explaining Vishnu, he explained Vishnum. The word of Vishnu, he explains it as Vyapana Shilam. That which is all pervasive is called as Vishnu. So here Vishnu means the ultimate reality of Brahman. That means the Guru Paduka, a person who prostrates the Guru Paduka, he is in turn directed or redirected to the Pada of Brahman. So it gives steadfast devotion to the feet of Vishnu or Brahman in short. That means it finally leads to Anusandhanam or Nididhyasanam, thereby to realization. So this shloka says that a person, I prostrate to the feet, the Guru Paduka, that Guru Paduka which provides, which gives the six qualities of the mind, starting with Shama, and then that which has taken a vow to give Samadhi, the boon of Samadhi to a person who is prostrating, and then that which gives a person devotion, pure devotion toward the feet of Vishnu. So the next shloka is Swarcha Paranam Akilesht Dabhyam Swaha Sahaya Akshadurantara Bhyam Swanta Chabhava Pradapujana Bhyam Namo Namashri Guru Paduka Bhyam. Yeah, so the author continues, I prostrate to the Guru Paduka Namo Namashri Guru Paduka Bhyam, which Swarcha Paranam Akilesht Dabhyam. For people who are Archa, Swarcha Parana, for people who prostrate, for people who worship the Guru Paduka, Akila Ishta Dabhyam. Ishta means like wishes, desires of the mind. Akila means all. That means it fulfills all the desires of people who worship. So the Guru Paduka gives a person who prostrates it all the wishes. The wishes of his mind will be fulfilled. This is the same as what Krishna says in the 4th chapter that Ye yatha maam prapadyanti tam stateva bhajamyaham. So, in whatever form a person worships me, I appear to him in that form. Similar thing he says in the 7th chapter, Yo yo yam yam tanam bhavah. I forgot the shloka. So, that it the shloka means that for people, for what all kamam, what all desires a person has, that is being fulfilled by me alone. So, like for a person who is prostrating to the Guru Paduka, he doesn't need to bother about anything. If he has any wish, then it will automatically be fulfilled. He doesn't need to put too much effort into it or work towards it. Swaha Sahayaksha Durantarabhyam. So, Swacha Paranam Akilesta Dabhyam. So that the Guru Paduka which fulfills the desires of people who worship it. Swaha Sahayaksha Durandarabhyam. That which is greater than Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is compared here just like by saying that okay, Shiva is considered to be quite a jivan mukta, a realized soul, because unlike, it's like if we consider Shiva and Vishnu, we can find that like it's like so beautiful to analyze their nature. Vishnu is enjoying all pleasures. He's amidst, like he's sitting on the what's it, palari and all those things, enjoying with Lakshmi, but still he's ever immersed in the truth. So that means like a person, though a person might be enjoying things, enjoying sensual pleasures, but still he can be focused on the reality. He can always be focused on the reality by knowing that everything is an illusion and just being a part of the drama that's happening. On the contrary, Shiva is a person who has renounced all pleasures. He doesn't have any pleasures. He doesn't have any good clothes. He wears bhasmam. He wears all things which are considered to be bad, which are considered to be non-attractive. And add to it that he has two wives. One sharing his body, so he has given even his body to one wife and the head to another wife. So he is a perfect renunciate. A person who has renounced everything externally and still immersed in the truth. That is Shiva. Whereas Vishnu is a person who is still enjoying everything but still immersed. So it's like two extremes, two situations that is said. Like one is the case of Shankara, where Shankaracharya, we can say, renounced, a perfect renunciate. And the other is the case of Janaka or Balakrishna Nair in current day, person who is still enjoying all desires, all sensual pleasures, but still is focused on the reality. But this Guru Paduka is even greater than Shiva, because Shiva is a person who destroys the fault or bad in us. Shiva is the Lord of destruction. He destroys our bad. He destroys desire. Destruction of desire by Shiva is again like strengthened or symbolized in the story where Kama or like Manmada, who is the Lord of Kama, Lord of desire, he was burned by Shiva. So he tried to attract Shiva. He tried to make Shiva an object of his kamam, but in turn was burnt up. So that means like Shiva is a person who burns or destroys all desire. So but the Guru Paduka is still greater than that, because Guru Paduka destroys all desires as well as it leads to the reality also. It directly gives the samadhi. It directly gives samadhi, shamadhi, shatkam and all those things as explained in the previous shloka. And swanta acha bhava prada pujanabhyam. For people who worship the Guru Paduka, it gives swanta acha bhava. So bhavam, swanta acha bhavam, a pure heart, a pure mind. So for people who worship, who it's like interrelated shlokas are, when you get shamadhi shatka sampatti and samadhi, that means your mind has to be pure. That means the Guru Paduka, when a person prostrates the Guru Paduka, it gives purity of mind. So it's like interrelated shlokas. So the shloka says that if I prostrate myself at the Guru Padukas, which gives, fulfills all desires of people who worship it, which is greater than Lord Shiva, as well as which gives purity of mind for people who worship it. The last shloka is Kamadi sarpa vraja garudabhyam viveka vairagya nidhi pradabhyam bodha pradabhyam drita mokshadabhyam namo namashri guru padukabhyam. So Kamadi sarpa vraja garudabhyam. So in the site the link says Kamadi sarpa vraja banjakabhyam. Banjakam means destroying. Kamadi sarpa vraja garudabhyam. Garudabhyam means like it is the Garuda. It is a Garuda. So both words are fine. But the reading that I have learned is Kamadi sarpa vraja garudabhyam. So Kamadi sarpa vraja garudabhyam. That which is the Garuda. Is the Garuda which removes the serpents of Kamadi. Kamadi means like the Kalmasham, you can remember. Kalamasha. Kama krodha lobha moha mada matsaryam. So all those six, the serpents of Kamadi Dosham is destroyed by the eagle, by the Garudam, by the Garudam of Guru Paduka. So the Guru Paduka is the Garudam. For a person who worships the Guru Paduka, it destroys Kamadi. So it's the same as telling that it is greater than Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva destroys. Similarly, this also destroys. It not only destroys Viveka Vairagya Nidhi Pradabhyam Nidhi, the treasure of Viveka Vairagya. Viveka and Vairagya is bestowed by the Guru Paduka. The treasure of Vivekam and Vairagyam. It's called treasure because once a person gets this treasure, then it leads him to bliss. It leads him to knowledge and thereby to realization or bliss. So it is like it bestows Vivekam and Vairagyam. Bodha Pradabhyam. It not only gives Vivekam and Vairagyam, but it gives knowledge. Bodham. Bodha word generally means consciousness or knowledge. Here the meaning is knowledge or the truth or scriptural knowledge. Aparoksha jnanam, indirect knowledge, which in turn leads to moksham. So bodha pradabhyam, it gives bodham, it gives knowledge, it gives aparoksha jnanam, it gives siddhanta jnanam or intellectual knowledge. Dritta moksha dabhyam, it also provides moksham. And what moksham? Dritta moksham means immediate liberation. Dritta means soon, very soon, quickly. So the Guru Paduka first destroys Kam. It's the eagle or the Garuda that destroys Kamadi Sarpam. Then it gives the Nidhi of Viveka Vairagyam. It provides Aparoksha Jnanam and thereby gives immediate liberation. So this is the final shloka. But in this shloka we can see also, if we analyze, we can find out the steps or the path a person has to follow. In the spiritual path a person follows to realize the self. First step is to remove kamadi, remove the bad things, remove vasanas, kamam and all those things of the mind. So first thing is removal of that which poses as like obstacles in the spiritual path. That is what is mentioned as kamadi sarpa vraja garudabhyam. Once like things that obstruct the spiritual path are removed, then a person has to concentrate on things that will help him in liberation. So it is called pratikulam and anukulam. Anukulam means that which is supports. So anukula sevanam. A person has to do sevanam means like a person has to follow or implement anukulam, that which helps in the spiritual path. And pratikula nirodhanam or pratikula varjanam means remove. Pratikulam is that which poses obstacles. So removal of obstacles and following that which helps him. So the first step is removal of obstacles, kamadi dosham, and then viveka vairagya nidhi. So, and then anukula sevanam. Anukula sevanam is getting prerequisite. First is getting prerequisite for knowledge, which is vivekam vairagyam. And then what? Bodha pradabhyam. Then bodham. Then comes knowledge. So after prerequisites of sadhana chatushtayam is there, then a person needs to get knowledge. Knowledge to Shravanam and Nididhyasanam. So he gets Aparoksha Jnanam. Once after Aparoksha Jnanam, the final step is Paroksha Jnanam or Jivan Mukti or liberation. So in short, this shloka, though is the last shloka, but still it encompasses the path. In short, explains the path a person follows in the spiritual journey towards realization. First is removal of negative things, removal of obstacles, then following or getting the nidhi, treasure of Viveka Vairagyam or Sadhana Chatushtayam, then getting knowledge, Aparoksha Jnanam, through Guru's words and scriptural learning, as well as through Shravanamana Nididhyasanam, that in turn makes him liberated or it bestows Aparoksha Jnanam. Sorry, I have used Aparoksha Jnanam and Paroksha Jnanam interchangeably. That's wrong. Aparoksha Jnanam is direct knowledge or experience, that is Jivan Mukti. First is Paroksha Jnanam. Indirect knowledge a person gets from the Guru and scriptures, that is Bodham or knowledge. And once a person gets indirect knowledge, he follows the path of Shravanam and Nididhyasanam and thereby makes his direct or Aparoksham. Para Aksham. Aksham means eyes. Para means through others' eyes. Through others' eyes, knowing is called Paroksha Jnanam or learning from the Guru. The Guru says, You are Brahman, everything is Brahman. You don't know it, but you learn it from the Guru's word. So that is Paroksha Jnanam. Aparoksha Jnanam means, Paroksha means other's eyes, Aparoksha means one's own eyes, one's own experience. So Aparoksha Jnanam or Jivan Mukti is the final step. So a person who prostrates the Guru Padaka will be given immediate liberation. He doesn't have to struggle, he doesn't have to wait for births, he doesn't have to do a lot of sadhana, but he will be given immediate liberation or instant liberation. That is what is like this shloka explains. So like so this with this shloka we come to the end of this work of Guru Padaka Stotram.